Good morning. Welcome to the service of worship on this fourth Sunday of Advent as the countdown gets ever closer to Christmas Day. Glad to have you here today, and special welcome to those who are visiting here. If it is your first time here, we invite you to take a welcome card from the pew rack in front of you. We invite you to fill the card out and place it in the offering plate during the morning offering so that we may know who's been worshiping with us. I'd like to invite all of you to stay for a few moments after the service for a time of refreshment and fellowship in our Judson Chapel, which is the room directly behind the sanctuary. You'll note on the back page of the bulletin the calendar for this week, and the Tuesday Bible study will be meeting and concluding its study on this week. And the Christmas Eve service will be held Wednesday evening beginning at 7 o'clock here in the sanctuary. It is a service of carols and candles, and we invite you to come tour that. You will also note that next Sunday, Reverend Dorian Freeman will be the supply preacher, as I will be on vacation next Sunday. Also, next Sunday begins our winter worship in the parlor. So for January, February, and a good part of March, we will also be in the parlor. So just to let you know that, no time change, just location change. Also, you'll note that the American Baptist Women's Ministries is having their Christmas party on Friday, January 2nd at the home of Sharon Jacobson. You may also want to note that offering envelopes for next year are available on a table in Judson Chapel. If you would like envelopes and don't find a set there with your name on it, please speak with Richard Freeman after the service, and he can arrange to have those for you. Also, I do want to point out today that we are using the red hymnals today in the sanctuary because we've already moved the blue hymnals to the parlor in preparation for worship next week. So I do want to just remind you that we are using red hymnals today only. So at this time, I do invite you to take the red hymnal and turn in the back section in the unison readings to selection number 114. Yes. Sorry. Hold the page number. I was not reading my bulletin clearly, and let's prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the choral introit. I now invite you to turn in the back section of the red hymnal to the unison readings number 114. Be reading from the prophet Isaiah. And it's designed to be in unison, but I'm going to encourage you to alternate paragraphs with me this morning. So let us read responsively from God's holy word. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The zeal of the Lord of Hosts will do this. Our opening hymn is O Come, All Ye Faithful, number 132 in the Red Hymnal. Those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, in this holy place, in these quiet moments, let us catch our breath, connect to your spirit, and let hope, peace, joy, and love take root in our hearts. Walk with us these days in joyful anticipation of your birth. We ask this in your name, and now pray as you first taught, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. If there are any children who'd like to come forward, you may do so now. I know there's only two of you, but I'm glad you came down. And Oh, Sophie's going to come too. Wow. And here comes Lillian too. So we're getting ready for Christmas. Are you ready? Some are saying yes. I've asked the adults. I'm not sure they would all agree that they are all done. So we've been getting ready for Christmas in the season of Advent, and we've been counting down. And one of the ways we do that, well, several ways we do that. One is we've added characters to our manger scene. Who's been added this week? Who wasn't there last week? Do you remember if you were here last week? Who wasn't there last week? No, the wise men were here last week. There's only one person missing from the scene. So who was added? Lillian? Not there yet. The manger's empty. Manger's empty. Just some straw. It's waiting. But Mary and Joseph have been added. So we only have one person waiting, and he doesn't arrive till Christmas Eve. That's when we add the baby Jesus to our manger scene. So we get ready by adding characters. We also get ready by lighting candles in our Advent wreath. You can see that some of the candles are shorter than others because, you know, they burn for more weeks than other weeks. Last week we lit the pink candle. And do you remember who the pink candle represented? That's right. It was Mary, mother of Jesus. And so we light the last purple candle today, meaning, and it's representing love today. The first candle was hope. The second candle represented peace. Last Sunday's was joy. And this week it's love. And those are the four candles that we're going to be focusing on those. We're going to talk about those on Christmas Eve as well. But we're going to be lighting the candle of love today, and remembering that Jesus came from God's love and came to love us and show us how much God loves us by even dying for us. So I invite you to the congregation to turn to page 2 of the bulletin as we sing Light the Advent Candles song as we light the candles. So the outside of our wreath is now complete. So that means there's only one more candle to light before Christmas. And that's the center candle. And that's Jesus' birthday candle. It's called the Christ candle. Now, again, we will light Christmas Eve, and then it will be Christmas. I don't know yet. I'm still working on that. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for the light that comes to us, and candles that remind us of the hope, the joy, the peace, and the love that you offer to us through Jesus Christ. We are getting ready, Lord. Some of us may feel more ready than others to celebrate Christ's birth. Lord, we just pray that we may put aside the lists and the tension that we feel, that we can just focus on your love that you offer to us at this time. And help us to love one another with the type of love that you have for us. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. There are no Sunday school classes today, so you may go back and sit with your families, or you go back to the choir loft. As we come to prayer this morning, we have an opportunity to share our celebrations and our concerns with one another before spending some moments in prayer. We want to remember Peggy Blum. Peggy's not been feeling well for quite a while now, and we want to keep Peggy in prayer. We celebrate that Helen Fleet is here today. So it's been a long time, Helen, but it's good to have you back with us and being able to worship with us. Steve's not here. I received word on Friday that Patty Clarkson may have suffered a stroke on Friday and was being evaluated, been evaluated at one hospital and was being transferred for additional testing Friday evening, and I have not had an update. So we want to keep Bob and Patty Clarkson in prayer today. We also want to continue to remember Steve Lacey's nephew, Gino Graffio, whom we've been praying for several months now. He continues in a rehab hospital, and he still is paralyzed from his waist down and trying to develop strength in his upper body. But he's still very, very discouraged. So we want to keep Gino in prayer today. And also we want to remember those who are being remembered and honored by the Christmas flowers, the poinsettias, in the front today as well, and remember them in prayer. Do you have any concerns or celebrations you'd like to share with the church family? Well, okay, I'll start here and go back. So the Jacobson family is being reunited in the Boston area and wanting to have traveling blessings on family for their safe journey and others, too, that are traveling as well. So we want to remember those who are traveling this holiday season. Eleanor, was it your hand? Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Now, Eleanor's Aunt Mary passed away, so we want to keep your family and pray your cousins in prayer. Difficult time to lose a loved one during the holiday season. Claire. Yes. Oh, great. Girl that had been battered and we've been praying for is better and may be able to go home for Christmas. So we celebrate that. And, that is a celebration. Liz. Okay, Dave's father is having some health issues, so we want to keep him in prayer. Josh? Right, the homeless shelter that's being opened in Boston to take care of some that were on the island. So we do celebrate that, but it's a celebration. Also, we had prayed last week for the TRICAP organization and people being affected by that. And I've learned this week that the fuel assistance program has been taken over and is operational now by ABCD, which is Action Boston Community Development in Boston. Also, the Head Start program is being taken over by them as well and will be functioning as of January 1st. I believe that will be the official date, but they are in the process of having the funding transferred, and they will become our new tenant for the Head Start classrooms and office space that is located here So it is good news for the families. You know, there's some still transition, but for the some of the neediest families in our greater Malden area, it is good news that they will continue to be able to receive fuel assistance, and those enrolled in the Head Start program will continue to receive services and have classroom space. And I haven't heard as far as the Head Start staff, but I haven't had a chance to talk with the staff yet. I'm planning to do that tomorrow just to see. But I'm thinking that most of the current staff will be rehired and will continue to have jobs at least through June. That's everything's temporary. Everything's interim. So it's an interim period through June, and then it has to be reassigned. But the federal government funding has to be reassigned. So, you know, there may be some other changes coming down the road. But for the families, especially during winter, it is good news that those who are receiving fuel assistance will continue to be able to do that in the Head Start program. Any other prayer requests today? If not, then let's go to God, lifting up some of these requests or something that's on your heart. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we gather this day in your house as your children, realizing that sometimes we are naughty and sometimes we are nice. But we know, Lord, that you never stop loving us. You may not like the things that we do sometimes or things that we say, but you always love us, a love that's unconditional. And we thank you for that. And as we gather this day, Lord, many of us have lists of things we hope to get done in preparation for celebrating Christ's birth. Lord, we just pray for peace today and calmness in the hectic hours that are before us. And Lord, help us to say it's okay if something does not get done, and that celebration will still go on. We pray for, Lord, for those who are traveling to destinations near and far this Christmas season, that they may have safe journeys. They're going to be with family that may be a time of renewal among family members, a time of celebration. Lord, we just thank you for that you have created us to be in relationship with one another. But Lord, we also pray for this Christmas season for those who will be alone, who have no one to celebrate the holiday with. And Lord, we pray that, you know, we especially may remember them in our prayers in the coming days as we prepare to be with others, that there are some who will be alone on Christmas. And just pray that, you know, they too may sense your love for them. Lord, we pray for those who are ill today, lifting them up to you, and pray for healing in their lives according to your will. We pray also for those who are in mourning today, and especially difficult during the holiday season to lose a loved one, that there's an empty seat at the table. There are presents that are not going to be received. And Lord, we just lift those families up today that are in mourning. Pray for your comfort and your peace to be upon them this day, that they may have hope that Jesus Christ came to earth and not only to demonstrate your love, but to pay the price for our sins, that those who believe in him may one day be called home and be reunited with their other believing family members and to meet you face to face. Until those days, O Lord, we live in a time of hope and expectation here on earth. We pray that we may be faithful in our discipleship and that all that we do may be pleasing in your sight. And we ask this all now in the name of the babe of Bethlehem, Jesus Christ. Amen. We've seen so many ads in stores to buy this and buy that, and we've seen beautiful packages wrapped up, ready to be presented to loved ones and friends. But the most precious gift that is ever given at Christmas is Jesus Christ. And there's nothing that we can do to say thank you enough for that gift. But we have an opportunity to offer our tokens of gratitude at this time as the ushers receive your tithes and your gifts for the morning offering. Let us pray. Lord, we offer these gifts to you as a token of our gratitude for your most precious gifts to us, and especially the gift of Jesus Christ. We ask that you would bless these gifts and bless us, that we may share the good news of Christ with others. It's in his name that we ask this. Amen.
Thank you.
may be seated. Cindy Huddy is our lay leader today and will be reading the scripture.
The scripture today is taken from Luke 3, verses 16 through 21. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God.
Let's pray together. Lord, we have read and heard these words from John's Gospel. Words for many of us that are very, very familiar. Words that we may have committed to memory and that we try to live by. Lord, we pray that in these moments, as we focus on your love for us, that we may gain a greater understanding of what that means for us. In this season of preparation, we're almost ready for Christmas. Lord, help us to focus on your love this day. Love beyond what we can share with one another. A love that's more extensive and deeper than we can ever offer one another. Lord, we ask this in the name of Christ. Amen. Do we know what Christmas is all about? We can probably recite most of the story from Luke and Matthew's Gospels, perhaps with a little prompting, and we can sing many of the carols of the season from memory, at least the first verse and the chorus. But what do these words and songs mean? During Advent, we have been looking at four things that Christ's coming gives to us: hope, peace, joy, and today we're focusing on love. In the late 1800s, Christina Rossetti wrote the following words: love came down at Christmas. Love all lovely, love divine. Love was born at Christmas. Star and angels gave the sign. Worship we the Godhead. Love incarnate, love divine. Worship we our Jesus, but wherewith for sacred sign? Love shall be our token. Love shall be yours, and love be mine. Love to God and to all men. Love for plea and gift and sign. But Christmas has become so secularized and commercialized that the true original meaning of the season is often lost. With society's desire to be politically correct and all-inclusive, most religious connotation to the holiday has been eliminated. Santa Claus has replaced Jesus Christ as the one to be worshipped on Christmas morning. So what is the missing factor in our Christmas celebrations? In his book, Surprises and Miracles of the Season, Devotions for Christmas and New Year's, author Dennis E. Hensley writes about the X factor in Christmas, And you'll have to forgive me, but I enjoy this illustration because it is mathematical, and that was my original training. So those of you who just sort of fog out at math, just stay with me for a few minutes, please. The author writes these words. One December evening, back when my son was in high school, I was helping him with his algebra homework. Each problem was presented with a variety of multiples on the left and right sides of the equal sign. In each problem, the challenge was to figure out what the X factor was, that is, the unknown quantity. Once X was solved, it could be multiplied by the given numbers, and both sides of the equation would balance. After an hour of working at calculations, we had finished the assignment. We decided to drive downtown to do some Christmas shopping. As we drove past the various shopping areas, we saw signs with such messages as Xmas trees for sale, mail early for Xmas, and Xmas gift wrapping sold here. I nodded at all the sights, the author writes, and said to my son, even for Christmas, it seems that X is the unknown factor. Everybody wants to find peace on earth and goodwill toward men, but they really can't solve the problems of the world until they discover the unknown factor is Christ. They need a formula, suggested my son, or a reference equation, you know, something like X equals N squared, or X equals 15 plus 2Y. There has to be a common number of this base factor. The author goes on and writes, I pondered for a while and then said, I think the New Testament is filled with reference equations that explain what X is equal to. My son said, oh, like what? Well, I began, how about X equals 70 times 7 in regard to forgiveness? Or how about X equals 99 plus 1 when it comes to rescuing the lost sinner? My son smiled and said, sure. Or X could equal 2 for Christ's second coming, or 3 for the Father, Son, and Spirit, the Trinity. And then I added, or X could equal 500 plus 50 when it comes to forgiving all debtors. Or X could equal 72 for sending out missionaries, continued my son. I replied, that's a pretty good start. We could probably make a good-sized list with all sorts of mathematical variables, but each of the equations would be balanced only if we substituted Jesus for the unknown factor. Whatever's missing, whatever's needed. And my son finished my thoughts by saying, Jesus is the solution. Right, I agreed. You're pretty sharp. And my son tapped the side of his forehead and said, not just sharp, but excellent. Jesus Christ came to earth to show us the solutions to our problems. And when that did not work, he solved all of our problems by going to the cross and dying for us. Jesus gave us the ultimate gift of love. When we walk in darkness, Jesus offers us the light of his love and gift of eternal life. Over 40 years ago, the song that I'm about to read the words to was written. Love was when God became a man, locked in time and space without rank or place. Love was God born of Jewish kin, just a carpenter with some fishermen. Love was when Jesus walked in history, Lovingly, he brought a new life that's free. Love was God, nailed to bleed and die, to reach and love one such as I. Love was when God became a man, down where I could see love that reached out to me. Love was God dying for my sin, and so trapped was I, my whole world caved in. Love was when Jesus rose to walk with me. Lovingly he brought a new life that's free. Love was God. Only he would try to reach and love one such as I. Undoubtedly, you have attended numerous holiday concerts and plays over the years. Probably the most memorable were when your own children or grandchildren participated in the pageant or the program. I found the following story circulating on the internet. Each December, I vowed to make Christmas a calm and peaceful experience. I had cut back on non-essential obligations, extensive card writing, endless baking, decorating, and even overspending. Yet still, I found myself exhausted, unable to appreciate the precious family moments and, of course, the true meaning of Christmas. My daughter, Sarah, was in kindergarten that year. It was an exciting season for a six-year-old. For weeks, she had been memorizing songs for her school's winter pageant. I didn't have the heart to tell her that I'd be working the night of the production. Unwilling to miss her shining moment, I spoke with her teacher. She assured me there would be a dress rehearsal the morning of the presentation. All parents unable to attend that evening were welcome to come then. Fortunately, my daughter seemed happy with that compromise. So the morning of the dress rehearsal, I filed in 10 minutes early, found a spot on the cafeteria floor, and sat down. Around the room, I saw several other parents quietly scampering to their seats. As I waited, the students were led into the room, each class accompanied by their teacher. They sat cross-legged on the floor. Then each group, one by one, rose to perform their song. Because the public school system had long stopped referring to the holiday as Christmas, I did not expect anything other than fun commercial entertainment, songs of reindeer, Santa Claus, snowflakes, and good cheer. So when my daughter's class rose to sing Christmas Love, I was slightly taken aback by its bold title. Sarah, my daughter, was aglow, as were all of her classmates, adorned in furry mittens and sweaters and bright snow caps upon their heads. Those in the front row center stage held up large letters one by one to spell out the title of the song. As the class would sing, C is for Christmas, a child would hold up the letter C. Then H is for happy, and on until each child holding up his or her portion had presented a complete message of Christmas love. The performance was going very smoothly until suddenly we noticed him, a small, quiet boy in the front row holding the letter M upside down. Totally unaware, his letter M appeared as a W. The audience of first through sixth graders snickered at this little one's mistake, but he had no idea why they were laughing at him, so he stood there tall and proudly holding his W. Although many teachers tried to shush the children, the laughter continued until the last letter was raised, and we all saw it together. A hush came over the audience, and eyes began to widen. In that instant, we understood the reason we were there, why we celebrated the holiday in the first place, why, even in the chaos, there was a purpose for our festivities. For when the last letter was held high, the message read aloud was clear. Christwaslove. Christ was love. And the author writes, and I believe he still is. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but may have eternal life. May this good news of God's love permeate each of our Christmas celebrations this year. It was true 2,000 years ago, and it's just as true today. God loves us and sends Christ to us. Merry Christmas. Let's pray together. Lord, we often get tied up in the festivities of Christmas, and we forget the true message of Christmas was that Christ was love. Lord, we pray that we may take that message with us from this time of worship, that that may be forefront in our thoughts in the coming days as we finalize our preparations, that we remember that Christ came as love to each of us, not because we've earned it, not because we've been good this year, but because he loves us, because you love us. Lord, help us to share that love with others, not only in this Christmas season, but throughout the year, that those that feel unloved and unlovable may know that there is a God who loves them. We thank you for that love. And we pray that we may share that with others. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is number 326 in the red hymnal. We'll be singing verses 1, 4, and 5. Look, the young woman is with child. She shall bear a son, and shall name him Emmanuel, God with us. Nothing can separate us from the love of the Lord, who comes to us in human form, who promises to be with us always. In our final days of preparation to once again celebrate the coming of Emmanuel, may we be focused on the love that he offers each of us. Merry Christmas. Amen.